And all ye powers which in the same remain, more than we men can feign, pour out your blessing on us plenteously, and happy influence upon us reign, that we may raise a large posterity, which from the earth, which they may long possess, with lasting happiness, up to your haughty palaces may mount, and for the guerdon of their glorious merit, may heavenly tabernacles there inherit of blessed saints for to increase the count. So let us rest, sweet love, in hope of this, and cease till then our timely joys to sing. The woods no more us answer, nor our echo ring. Song made in lieu of many ornaments, with which my love should duly have been decked, which cutting off through hasty accidents, ye would not stay your due time to expect, but promised both to recompense, be unto her a goodly ornament, and for a short time an endless monument. Introduction. Two Views of Marriage. What we have come to call the gay marriage debate is not directly about homosexuality, but about marriage. It is not about whom to let marry, but about what marriage is. It is a pivotal stage in a decades-long struggle between two views of the meaning of marriage. The conjugal view of marriage has long informed the law, along with the literature, art, philosophy, religion, and social practice of our civilization. See Chapter 3. It is a vision of marriage as a bodily as well as an emotional and spiritual bond, distinguished thus by its comprehensiveness, which is, like all love, effusive, flowing out into the wide sharing of family life and ahead to lifelong fidelity. In marriage, so understood, the world rests its hope and finds ultimate renewal. A second revisionist view has informed the marriage policy reforms of the last several decades. It is a vision of marriage as, in essence, a loving emotional bond, one distinguished by its intensity, a bond that needn't point beyond the partners, in which fidelity is ultimately subject to one's own desires. In marriage, so understood, partners seek emotional fulfillment and remain as long as they find it. In 1595, Edmund Spenser published an ode to Elizabeth Brodie on the occasion of their wedding. Epithalamion, meant as an endless monument to the bride, also gives lasting poetic effect to the beauty, audacity, and reach of the first view of marriage mentioned here. At the center of Spenser's poem, and thus central to marriage, is the spouse's union of body and mind. The bridegroom speaker devotes four central stanzas to his bride's body like a palace fair, then to her inward beauty, to their spiritual union by vows, and then to their bodily union by consummation. They make their vow complete by making love, which makes new life. Thus children give effect to their wishful vow. In this way, their union's fleeting snatches of delight betoken the lasting happiness of a large posterity. Their commitment, like its living fruit, is therefore endless. And for the endless strength to match it, the groom bids Juno, upholder of the laws of wedlock, to bind his marriage. Bind, not bend, for marriage is a natural bond that society or religion can only solemnize. Since everyone has a stake in his marriage, the groom calls the whole world, even the whole cosmos, as witness. He calls first on the muses in true Renaissance fashion, and then on the maidens attending to his bride, and on all the village boys, too, running and cheering down the streets. The young men of the town he bids to light bonfires and dance about them, and about them sing. To the nymphs of the Irish rivers he calls, and to the fish that teem within. The woods, the moon, and the sun are his witnesses, and even the heavens, the temple of the gods. Fast forward now to the fall of 2006. John Partilla, an Upper West Side advertising executive, meets Carol Ann Riddell, a local news anchor.